Hello, everyone, and welcome to Falcon Cast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Matt Moore, next to Jay Adams and Reed Farron. Guys, we're going to do what the team did. We're going to look. Cincinnati's done with. The Falcons are 1-1. We'll acknowledge that, but it's a short week. We have no time to digress on Cincinnati anymore, so we're moving on to Tampa. So my first question to you guys is, it being a short week, and this is a different ball game. These guys had to come in and, you know, like I just said, not look at much film, start looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a division opponent coming in on a short week. Talk about the challenges and kind of what this week will entail.
Well, it's been a huge shift for the Falcons, and you know, Julio Jones made a good point today that, you know, Tampa's dealing with the same stuff too, so it's not like any team is at
and they have to travel.
And they have to travel. So it's not like, you know, there's any team at a disadvantage here, but it is a very different week when you talk about guys who are creatures of habit and creatures of routine. You know, normally you spend Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday going over the previous game's film. And the Falcons haven't even really looked at the Bengals film. Now, Smitty said there were a couple of little things here and there that they picked out and, you know, stuff that needed to change right away. But, I mean, that's a big thing when you can't use, you know, the previous week's game as a learning tool.
Yeah, I talked to Falcons offensive coordinator Drew Cutter today, and he mentioned the familiarity with Lovie Smith's Tampa 2 scheme. So that's a benefit. They've seen that. They played against teams in that type of defensive scheme. So that's one positive. But like you said, traveling, the Falcons definitely have the advantage come tomorrow night.
I think it is a huge advantage for the home team, and you need to take advantage of it early. Same thing. Dome crowd. They're going to need to be the 12th man. Are we allowed to say 12th man? Is that like copyrighted?
Everybody's using it these days. We can go ahead.
We'll use it too. The dome field advantage will be needed this week. So fans come early. What is it, Reed?
Show up, turn up, rise up.
There you go. I love that. Let's keep that. I'll keep that mantra going as we move through this 2014 season. One thing I want to touch on is it is a star-studded injury report this week. a lot of big names, yeah. Both sides on the injury report. Talk about some of the effects that these injuries will have and kind of what you expect. I know the injury report, you can maybe – why don't you tell the fans actually how the injury report works, because I think that's – I don't even always know how it works, and you deal with it every day, mm-hmm. The whole like – DNP, limited practice, how you have to do it every day as you move toward the game.
Yeah, it's a different ball game, you know, when you get into like the official injury report, because there's a lot of vagaries in there, and you know, you just kind of try to read between the lines. But you know, the league requires that teams report 3 days of their practice whether there were players that were injured, and they designate them whether they were full participants or limited participants or did not practice at all. And they're required to give, you know, the reason. And sometimes that can be as vague as a illness or, you know, it could be ankle or head or concussion or, you know, all those different things. So, that's the injury report.
And Reed, as I said, a lot of names. You got Jake Matthews, Roddy White. I think Julio Jones was listed as a limited participant for the Falcons. You look at the Bucks. You got guys like Gerald McCoy, Michael Johnson. Their injury report is a little bit longer. Why don't you touch on kind of some of the names that are on that and what you're expecting?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Gerald McCoy. Obviously, Lovie Smith says he's the best defensive tackle in the league. I talked to Joe Hawley. I talked to John Asamoah. They said if he's not the best, one of the best three technique defensive linemen in the league right now. Coach Smith said today that he was asked, has a guy ever played with a broken hand?
Is what McCoy has.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right, fractured hand. Coach Smith said, yeah, there's been guys that have played with broken ribs, hands, whatnot, so he'll tape it up. And literally, he's a game-time decision, game-day decision. But Jay had a great article on the site. The guys, the offensive line, they're preparing for the best that the Bucs have to offer.
I was going to say, if you're keeping track at home, that's two podcasts in a row that Reed has sucked up to you a little bit.
So. He's earning his points. It's smart. It's a very smart play by him.
It was topical.
Yeah. That's a good point that, you know, the Falcons offensive line said, look, we're preparing for the best so that if we get the backups, we're still going to be prepared regardless. I think there's still, you know, some little nuances to that. When you're playing a guy against a guy that, you know, you don't have a lot of film on, and you got to pick up those little idiosyncrasies throughout a game and adjust to those. And Joe Hawley even said, hey, those are the dangerous guys because those are the guys that come in with a lot of energy. They got a lot to prove. So just because you end up playing a backup at any one of those spots doesn't necessarily make it an easy game for any of these guys.
Two games in, and one thing that has been addressed by Coach Smith, he addressed it all week in his press conferences, is the Falcons have to do a better job of stopping the run. In two games, they have not done what Mike Smith has expected as far as stopping the run goes. What do the Falcons need to do adjustment-wise to fix that Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a big challenge because we came into this season thinking that, okay, well, you made a lot of moves in the offseason to fix the issues that you were having in stopping the run. You bring in Paul Solia. You bring in Tyson Jackson. You've got guys that are supposed to be plugging up the middle, and Solia took, you know, a lot of the blame and put it on himself. And you know, those guys up the middle are going to be your run stuffers, your lane pluggers, so that the linebackers can come in and make those plays. That's how it's supposed to work on paper. So I think there's a little bit of a learning curve. You've got, you know, some of these guys that are coming in there, they've not played under Mike Nolan. And you're changing things up from a defensive side of things, from a scheme perspective. So, you know, you kind of expect some of these growing pains that the Falcons have gone through in the last 2 weeks.
Talked to defensive coordinator Mike Nolan today, and he said ultimately it comes down to, one, scheme effectiveness and technique, and then, two, just playmaking. I mean, he needs the guys. It's ultimately – and that's what's great about the team is they're not selling each other out. It ultimately comes down to each player within themselves mastering your craft. I know it sounds cliche, but mastering the craft of what you can do well and maximizing it. Malachi Goodman told me that Coach Cox tells him that master what you know you do well and take those things and make the most of it. And that's what needs to happen before guys are going to make the plays.
Jay, something I love hearing out there from the coaches is do your job. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a job. We're going to make a game plan that we feel is going to make you excel. We want you to do your job that we're giving you to do.
Yeah, I mean, 11 is one, right? You know, you all have your own individual jobs, and if each one of those guys does their jobs, you're going to have success as a unit. So that's really what it comes down to is just doing what you're supposed to do. Don't try to do anything more, and let the defensive scheme take care of itself.
In Cincinnati in the jungle, Matt Ryan did not have as successful of a game as he did against the New Orleans Saints. I think some of the criticism's a little unfair. You know, there were some tip balls, a lot of pressure. He was under a lot of pressure, having to make some throws early. But the facts are the facts. He did not have as a successful game as he did against the Saints at home. What does Matt Ryan need to do to rebound from that effort again in Cincinnati this Thursday against the Bucs?
I think he just needs to be Matt Ryan. That's all.
Still, I mean, there's answer.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There is absolutely no reason to panic or change anything if you're Matt Ryan. I mean, in his entire career, he's only played, I think, four games where his quarterback rating has been under 50 at the end. I mean, there's no cause for concern here. He admitted he didn't have a very good game, and that's kind of what it comes down to. I don't see any reason to go reinventing the wheel here as far as Matt Ryan goes. I think he's going to be just fine.
Well, they call him Matty Ice for a reason, and he said himself this week that if we play the way we're capable of, we'll be fine. And we talked to Lamar Holmes. He talked about technique-wise, he needs to sharpen some things up, possibly getting Jake back. Obviously, he's a huge addition, so we'll look to see there. But Matt's not sweating. He's ready to go. On the mic'd up session that he had, you could see him encouraging the offensive line. All right, let's go do this. We're going to go right down the field. I don't think it's going to be any different come Thursday night.
Guys, each of you give me one thing we should look for Thursday night, one thing you're kind of focusing on as we get started.
I think from the defensive side of the ball, it's stopping the run. And you've got Doug Martin, who looks like he's going to be back into the starting lineup with that knee injury. Very dangerous back, but if he does not go his full load of reps, you know, you got Bobby Rainey right behind him. I think he had
we're familiar with him.
Yeah, and I think he had 140 some rushing yards last week against St. Louis. So there are two very good running backs there, and for a defense that has not been able to stop the run thus far through 2 weeks, I think that's going to be the big crucial thing for the Falcons.
I'll stick on the defensive side of the ball. Talking with Coach Nolan today, he said the big wide receivers that the Bucs have, Mike Evans, as well as Vincent Jackson, they're going to really show some stuff against Drew Font and Alford. But obviously, he said our guys are just as competitive as they are. Have to press, stay up on them, and make the most of it. Very competitive guys. So I'm looking forward to those two matchups on the outside.
All right, before we get to our picks segment, and we're each going to make picks and see how we did last week, I want to thank a few fans. We got a few jingles, guys. We got a lot of jingles in. Some people tried to just send me a rhyme on Twitter. Creative, but no, that's what we're asking for. We want you to make a song. We got a couple. We might have a winner. That's pretty close, but I want to get some more this week. So I'm extending the jingle contest one more week, at least one more week. I'll see what we get. I'm going to say one more week.
Music take time, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. Jay might be working on something.
You can't rush genius.
Jay plays the drums. He might drum us up something for the old jingle. But thank you very much. It's fun to see your creativity. I played some for these guys before we started, and they liked them. So we will have a winner next week. Good job on that.
Thanks for Matt Ryan jersey, right?
Sign Matt Ryan
jersey. So
absolutely.
There's your incentive.
Okay, let's get to the picks. So Reed was up 1-0. He had Devin Hester in week one. Let's go. Who did you have? You had Roddy White, correct, Reed?
Yep.
Last week. And you had Warlow.
I had Warlow.
I had Steven Jackson. You know, we were kind of talking, do we pick a winner? I think we'll pick a winner. I think it's Warlow. I think Warlow had... what did you say, 15 tackles?
I think 14.
14 tackles. That wins. And you knew what you were doing. You're the grizzled vet on this podcast. You knew that you were going to get a win out of Paul Warlow.
Just playing
you?
The system here.
All right. So you're up. You have honors.
All right. Well, if I've got honors, I am going to go back to I think I picked Julio Jones the first week, and I'm going to go back with Julio. This week, I like him to it's a – pretty good matchup with him and Werner on the outside, and I just like Julio's athleticism, obviously, in that matchup. So I'm going to go with Julio. I think he's going to have a huge game.
Reed?
I'm going with the bowler on the team. I'm going with his buddy Harry Douglas. Last three games, three touchdowns for Harry, a couple of 100-yard games. It was his birthday this week. It's been a big week. His wife had the same birthday, so things are rolling for Harry, and I think they're going to continue on Thursday night.
Jonathan Babineau is my guy.
Wow. He's on the game program this week, too.
Big things out of Babineau.
And the game ticket.
You heard it here first. I'm going to get on the board. I'm down to you guys. I don't like it. All right. Before we get out of here, I just want one more reminder. As the game ends Thursday night, change the channel to CW69. Dave Arch will be in the locker room with Matt Ryan, Coach Smith, and three other notables from the game. It's a good way to get inside access. Right when the game's over, you're not going to get more quotes, more stuff as soon as the game ends. And then after you watch CW69, make sure you're on AtlantaFalcons.com and all our social properties, because we will be covering the game to its fullest. So just tune in to all our properties. Jay, Reed, our video staff, our social crew will be covering the game like no one else. Thanks to Reed. Thanks to Jay. I'm Matt Moore. We'll see you next week on FalconCast.